So we had a quotation that is 1,000 years old. It's by Dromtun Jay, that famous lay person lama in Tibet. And he was describing how to teach. And he said, when a real lama of the higher way, right, Mahayana, when they teach, then they help their students come to infinite, what do you call it, facets of understanding of a single subject. They can present a single subject, and they can help the student appreciate it in a billion ways. Okay. But they also are concerned that the student should be able to practice it in real life. Laktu lemba is a nice expression in Tibetan. Laktu means in your hand. Lemba means to take it in your hand. And it means to get down in the dirt. What do you call it? Gritty? Nitty gritty? It means to help people with your hands. Like not just to theorize. Okay? Laktu lemba. Dembe tamala. Dembe tamala means at the conclusion of the teaching, at the last part of the teaching, whatever would help them and whatever would be of immediate practical benefit, you should teach, okay? So he's returning to that theme of, it's good, you know, Buddhism is beautiful. Buddhism has thousands of divisions, and we cataloged 130,000 scriptures in Russia. St. Petersburg, 14 years, took 14 years. And there are infinite, beautiful texts, you know. But then as a teacher, your challenge is to get the student to practice them, right? So, and to present the teaching in such a way that they can help somebody else, right? Okay, so when you come out to teach somebody, then you have to think, what will help them, okay? What will really help them? Not like what's a beautiful teaching or what would I like to teach the most or something like that. Like, as you teach a class, you're always going to be, what do you call it, detouring, depending on the reaction of the students. You know, people ask me, what are you going to teach? And I'm like, they write me, you know, from, I don't know, Copenhagen, and they say, you're coming in May. Can you tell us what you're going to teach? And I'm like, no. You know? But we need to advertise it. I said, but I don't know. You know? So then they get really insistent. Then I say, okay, advertise anything, you know? I don't care. And then when I get there, I'll see what they need. You know? And so when you sit up in front of a bunch of people, you will learn to feel them and sense what they need from their reactions in the first 10 minutes, right? You watch them and you feel what they need, and then you detour according to, if they're falling asleep, you have to detour fast. Okay. In Shanghai, I don't know what it is in Shanghai. I think they work too hard. But the first row always falls asleep in the first 5 minutes, and they're like leaning on each other like dominoes, and then you have to get very loud and throw things and do a debate. And so, okay. Think of what would help those people that you're teaching. Always concentrate on that, okay? Don't worry too much. Did you get the five this is right? You know, or is your explanation perfect? Don't stress about that. If your concern is that they come out with something that will help their life, the rest will take care of itself. Okay? All right. She Sumba Yang. Di Tabula Jago. We should do that. Deyan Tembe Tama. When Dromtun Jay, Chuki Gyalpo Dromtun Jay, talks about the end of the teaching, what he means is under debate. People have debated what he meant. He had an expression in that quotation called Tembe Tama, the end of the teaching. Then there has been a discussion for 1,000 years about what did he mean when he said end of the teaching. Daki Lama Rinpoche, my own Lama, Paboka Rinpoche's Lama, Sungyun La, Chumagdu Shekyan, Chitembe Juki Gangdom, Lobme Gyula Kampenshi Gupa La Chesung. My own teacher, he said, you should, at the end of the teaching, you should learn to wrap up the teaching with some kind of action plan for the people in the audience. You know, like when we give business talks, at the end, you know, we always say, okay, 5%. What are you going to do on Monday, right? We give these weekend business retreats and we're like, what are you going to do on Monday? The last thing we talk about is, what are you going to do on Monday? And then we say 5%. Didn't they have some kind of, what do you call, some little catchword that will stick in their mind? We say 5%. Then they say, what do you mean 5%? We say, take 5% of your income. Start setting aside 5% of your income, put it in a separate bank account, and then start your own foundation. Call it, name it after your mom or your dog or your kids or, you know, George was our dog when I was a kid. So, okay, it's the George Foundation. And then start a foundation, start your own foundation. Set aside 5% of your income. You can do that if you want to get, if you want to be financially independent, do that, okay? I'm giving you a free business seminar, okay? And it's fun to be financially independent. It's fun to have your credit cards paid off, have extra money constantly, have money flowing out of your backpack when you open it. People have to be careful opening this thing. And I do the 5% thing. So at the end of the talk, you know, you convince them about how it works and all that. But then at the end of the talk, give them an action plan. So wrap it all up and give them an action plan. What are we going to do on Monday? Okay. Daki Lama Rinpoche Sungyu. Lome Gyula Kamesh Chesu. Sache di chenyen lam du toi mengate larshu patar dina chukna. So he said we are wrapping up sort of a section on how to study and how to teach, right? He's going to have more on teaching later coming up. But he said, it's important with any group of students to cover with them first how to study and how to teach, how to learn, how to sit in a class. Okay? So before you start teaching a group of students in Guadalajara or something, it's good to give them the basics, you know, like this is how to take a class. This is how to study the Dharma. Okay. It's not like learning plumbing or something like it's different. There's a protocol to a good Dharma teaching. And as soon as the students are ready, you should teach them that protocol. I think at the very beginning, it's too early, right? It's not good to go into a group of students that you've never met before and say, you should be offering a lot of money to the Lama, you know, or something like that, you know, it's suspicious. Or something like, or you should be bowing to the Lama, you know, it sounds bad. Sometimes you might have to wait a year or 3 years, but there is a protocol of affectionate respect that should be held in the class. And if it starts to slip, you should stop the class. And you should bring it back to that. Okay? Don't let the students get in the habit of disrespecting the teaching or of not showing affection to each other. Okay? If it starts to slip, then go say we're gonna cancel the next three classes and we're gonna have a little review of the Lam Rim on the proper protocol for how to interact with the other students in the class, how to sit in the class, how to apply it to yourself as you're listening to the class or as you're teaching the class, right? Even as you're teaching the class, keep applying it to yourself. Put the sword towards yourself, right? And if it starts to lose it, then stop that class and bring the discipline back to the class. Because if you lose the discipline or you lose the protocol, whatever, no matter how interesting or kind of sophisticated the Dharma that you're teaching, or emptiness, or tantra, or if you let the the love slip in the class, or the affection, or the honor, or the respect, then the thing will collapse. They won't learn well. It won't be beneficial. So bring it back to some kind of a, I don't know, tight class. Okay? And if it slips, bring it back. Stop whatever you're teaching and bring the feeling back to the class and the etiquette of the class. Okay? The honor of the Dharma. Okay? All right. Then he says, I repeat that if the class slips on this, in this way, the whole class will slip. Okay? It won't be a benefit. You know, if the students start to disrespect the teacher or each other or the teaching, then the foundation is crooked and the house will not be good. Okay? In Tibet, you say, if you make a mistake on the first of the month, it will ruin the month, the whole month, up to the 15th. Okay? That means we're right now, we just passed the full moon. Okay? We're actually on a waning moon, which is not so great. But, you know, that's the Western calendar and it's messed up. So, just after the dark moon, when there's no moon, then the next night, at the end of the night, there's a tiny sliver. That's called a first moon, right? And that's considered a very important day of the month. Okay? You're supposed to start important things on the first light of the moon. And then that will, yarpel means it will wax, the moon will wax for 15 days, and then it will hit full. And so it's very important in Tibet to start important things on the first lunar day. And then it will affect the next 15 days, all right? So, but if on the first day you have a fight in the class between two students are jealous of each other, and there's a little altercation in the back of the class, or someone says something to the Lama, impolite or disrespectful, then it will ruin the whole 15 days. Something will happen to the rest of the 14 days, okay? So the comparison he's drawing is that if the protocol in the class is wrong, then it will infect the rest of the class. Whether the class takes a year or 6 months or a week, it will ruin the rest of the class. The foundation has to be there. And you should insist on it, okay? Otherwise the students won't get a lot out of the class. You should insist on a certain degree of respect in the class, okay? For each other also, among the students. If the students aren't getting along with each other, you should refuse to teach them. When you're ready to be civil with each other, come back and I'll teach you, okay? Like that, all right? Okay. You can't pull that card too often with Americans. Okay, I'm just telling you, or you'll never have a class. Be careful about pulling the Lama cards. You know what I mean? To pull a Lama card already means that the student is a good student. You know, you can't push a student unless they're already a good student. You can't like squeeze them until they're already committed. If you squeeze them too early, they'll just leave. Then you can't squeeze anybody. Okay, so you have to have a balance. You insist on protocol, insist on good behavior, but among the students, but you know, be sensitive to what's practical in your culture. Okay, they might all just bail. Okay, if you demand a really good behavior, they all might bail on you. So, you know, you gotta feel the whatever country you're in. Asia, it's more. Asia, the protocol is older, 5,000 years older, and they understand, and they will keep a good protocol in the class. But Americans are, you know, we're just, what do you call it? We're mutts. We're like all mixed up, different countries, and we don't even know what we are, okay? And we're young, okay? China is 5,000, the culture is 5,000 years old. American culture started in the second half of the last of the 14 dynasties of China. And they look at us and say, you know, who are you? You know, what do you know? Okay. Anyway, Ladu de Babatargyun. If you let things get out of hand in a class and you don't demand some kind of, what do you call that? It's not protocol. It's what is? It's like protocol etiquette. What's another word? Decorum is good. Good behavior towards each other and towards the teacher and towards the subject. If it gets out of hand, it doesn't matter how beautiful the Dharma teaching is. It's say la du du bapa. What's la? La means a deva, right? A god. Plaza means Los Angeles. Okay? Place of the angels. Okay? Plaza. And then the British misspelled it and they got stuck with that. Lahasa. Okay, it should have been HLA, but that's another thing. It's like Moscow. Anyway, Tla du du bab. Du means, do you know du? Du means a demon. Okay, tla du du bapa means you turn an angel into a devil. Okay, meaning if the relationship among the students is rotten, and if the relationship of the students to the teacher is rotten, then it doesn't matter how good the teaching is, it will be corrupted. Okay, the teaching itself will be corrupted. Okay, if the students aren't respecting each other and the teacher and the subject, then an angel will be transformed into a demon, meaning the teaching itself will become harmful. The same teaching will become harmful. You know, people will be using emptiness as a reason to abuse each other. You know, don't judge me that I'm misbehaving because that's just your perception. Okay, the teacher can misbehave all they want. It's just your perception, you know, and you can twist the Dharma to into a demon, right? And then you're just justifying misbehavior by the teachers and the students, right? Okay, all right. Or abuse of a teacher of a student by a teacher. Okay, you can twist the Dharma to justify that. Okay, so you have to be. It has to be pure from the beginning. Okay. Sla du de babatar, kyunle chude ni nyomombe drogsu drowa chen mangwa nangwe. Chen mangwa nangwe means. This is a way that lamas, a wise lama will say, it would appear, okay? Nangwa means, it would appear that there are a great number of people whose dharma practice is only supporting their previous mental afflictions. Okay? So a teacher has a sexual, what do you call it? Over-sexual, what do you call it? Urges, right? And then they say, oh, I'm a big tantrika, and they justify the problem they entered the Dharma with. They use the Dharma to justify why they should keep doing it. You see what I mean? And like that, okay? So you can't turn the Dharma into a justification for the continued party of your mental afflictions. Okay, like don't twist it to actually make your mental afflictions worse than they were before. Because you can, you know, you enter the Dharma path with us. Everyone has a certain collection of weaknesses. We all do. Then you enter the Dharma with those weaknesses. And you have to use the Dharma to overcome those weaknesses and not to reinforce them. Okay, and it's very difficult, okay? It's very easy to be swept away by the weaknesses with which you entered the path. Okay, and it could be anything. It could be anger, it could be jealousy, it could be materialism. And then you have to be careful that you don't use the Dharma to just reinforce the weakness that you entered the Dharma with, okay? It could be that you're like into materialism, right? then you're like, let's build a bigger temple than other people. Like, it gets it crazy in Tibet. It gets insane. There are a certain number of pillars. Every certain feet along a beam, you need a pillar to support the beam, okay? So in Tibet, they judge temples by how many pillars, you know? So Sarah J, half of Sarah Monastery, builds a temple, and then everybody's like, how many pillars? And they'll say 314. Okay, goddamn, we gotta get a 350. We gotta hit 350. Then Sarah May will have a big meeting. We need sponsors to go. We need people to go to Taiwan and collect sponsors. We have to hit a 350 temple, you know? And then the materialist thoughts with which you became a monk, you know? If you hadn't become a monk, you would have been out trying to get a Jaguar, right? And then you divert those negativities into, we need a bigger temple, you know? So you got to be careful that you're not using the Dharma to reinforce weaknesses that you entered the path with, okay? All right. Kelche Sung. Bila Nenten Kelche Sung. Don't turn the Dharma into a demon, okay? All right. And it's hard because that's why we came to this realm. You had certain weaknesses, and that's why you were born in this realm. This is not a good realm. This realm was created by the weaknesses of your past life. So you are those weaknesses. And it's very hard to stay honest and work against them with the Dharma. And it's very easy to use the Dharma to justify, what do you call it? Reinforcing your weaknesses. Okay, here we go. So it requires a high degree of honesty about who you are. And look at your personality and admit your weaknesses and fight them. And that's the whole thing about seeing yourself as a sick person, okay? And admitting your weaknesses. It doesn't mean to wallow in them and say, I'm not a good person. That's also a really bad thing. Okay, you have to say, I have certain weaknesses and I'm fighting them. And I fail sometimes, but I'm fighting them, okay? Then the fight should be a good fight. You know, you meet some guy and say, let's have a fight, you know? And he's bigger and he's stronger and at least you should get some good punches in before he knocks you down, you know? Like, okay, I have this problem. I'm cheapskate. I can't give anything to anybody, you know? And then you make a big gift to somebody, and then you're going to regret it for 6 months, and you're going to make up for it, you're going to go buy yourself a new car or something. But at least you got one good punch in, you know? And then that's a lot of good karma. That's a very heavy good karma. Okay, so take little punches at your favorite weakness, and then it will overwhelm you. You know, you say, I'm not going to eat chocolate, you know, today. And then you hold for the whole day and you don't eat chocolate. And then the next day you go wild, you know, and you have chocolate. I saw this thing, chocolate Mexican food. Then you go have a big chocolate Mexican food dinner. But at least you've got in the one punch, okay? All right. And that will change your life. The one punch will change your life. Okay. Okay, we're on to a subject called how to teach the Dharma. Nipa Chöshe Pitsulashi. What is the proper way to teach the Dharma? Okay, so this is kind of what we were hoping to get to, because ultimately, which we'll talk more about, your creativity will be channeled into teaching somehow. Okay, here we go. Chöshe Pitsulashi. There are four subjects here. Number one, Chöshe Pipenyin Samba. Consider the extraordinary good karma you get from teaching. Okay, so he's going to try to talk you into being a teacher. He wants you to become a teacher, okay? And the first way to get you to become a teacher is to inform you of all the cool stuff karmically that's going to happen to you if you start teaching, okay? And I'll say at the beginning something very, to me, it's the most important thing all week, okay? Whatever your dreams are in your life, it doesn't matter, okay? I want a really good partner, you know, or I want to be financially independent, you know, or I want to overcome all my health problems and be, you know, really strong and healthy, yeah. Or I want a world where there's no violence, you know, whatever your dreams are. You need karma, right? You need mental seeds to make them happen, right? You need, because the world is coming from you. Your finances are coming from you. Your friends are coming from you. Your face is coming from you. Your body is coming from you. Your relationships are coming from you, right? So in this system, you must plant powerful karmic seeds. Whatever your hopes are in your life, I want to make a really good film. You know, I want to write a good book. You know, I want to play good rock and roll. You know, then you have to plant seeds. You don't have a choice. In this system, you have to plant seeds. You plant those seeds by providing that thing that you hope for to someone else first. You help them get it first. Okay? I had a woman, she came to me, I want to be an actor. You know, I want to be a famous actor. You know, so I told her, you have to help someone else get some acting gigs. And she's like, what? You know, actors don't do that. 400 actors stand in line around a block in New York waiting for an audition to be the one person to get the gig. You're asking me to give it to somebody else? I said, that's the only way you're going to get it famous, to be a famous actor. You know, and she did. She did it. She's in Taiwan. She's now one of the most famous actresses in Taiwan. Okay, it's very interesting. Whatever you want to be, you have to help someone else become that, okay? And that involves teaching. And that involves teaching, okay? Because the best way to help someone else to get an acting gig is to teach them to give someone else an acting gig, okay? All right? You should and you can provide money to people or help physical, what do you call it? Logistical help to people. You should. Level one, provide logistical help to people. I'll get you to your interviews. I'll get you to the auditions. I'll figure out where the best auditions are, okay, for you. I'll get your name out there. I'll get you a good headshot. I have a photographer friend. You know, that's kind of like what? That's level one help. Level two help is like, you know, I'll get you to an acting school. You know, I'll get you into a good school. I'll get you trained as an actress. You know, I'll get you some good training as an actress. That's like level two. Then level three is, but now once they trust you, once you've done the first two kinds of help, the highest help is to sit them down in a Starbucks and say, look, I didn't tell you this before because you didn't know me very well. And now that you trust me, now that I've, you know, worked for you for 6 months, to get you gigs, to get you actress gigs, I'm going to tell you the real secret to getting an actress gig. And that's to help someone else get one. Okay? In the end, whatever your wishes in this life, they can all be fulfilled if you teach. Okay? If you teach. So in the end, if I'm going to help you, I have to teach you to teach. Okay? I have to teach you to teach, all right? So that's the subject of this retreat. And whatever your creative urges, they can all be, your wildest dreams will come true if you teach these ideas, okay? In the end, you have to teach. So let's just go straight there. All right, Nipa Chushe Patsulashi. Chushe Pipanya Sampa. Think about the cool stuff that's going to happen if you learn to teach these things, these ideas. I'm not saying Buddhism. I don't care. I don't even like the thing. I don't even like it, okay? I go to a country. I don't even say I'm a Buddhist, you know. Teach them that they can have everything they hope for if they provide it to someone else, you know. And I don't care how it's packaged. You can package it as Islam, or you can package it as communism, or you can package it as, you know, Christianity. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. Package is just a package. Chushepe Penyun Samba. Tumba Danchula Rimdo Kepa. You yourself must respect the source of these teachings if you're going to be a good teacher. Okay, you have to understand the source of the teachings and you have to respect it if you're gonna, and we'll talk about that. Sabananjoajitavishepa. What's the motivation you should have for teaching? This is number three, right? And it has two parts. What's the motivation? And then what's the, how do you say, the style with which you teach, okay? Like, what's the pre, what do you call it? How should you plan your teaching? What kind of thinking should precede the teaching? And then secondly, during the teaching, how should you conduct yourself? How's that? Okay, that's number three. Number four. You should know who you should teach and who you shouldn't teach. All right? You should know the difference between people who are worthy of learning these things and people who are not. Okay? Or people who, when it's appropriate to teach and when it's not appropriate to teach. Okay? And basically for us, in our tradition, that involves a desire, a true desire on the student's side to learn the thing. We're not allowed to proselytize. We're not allowed to go door to door and bang on the door and say, did you hear about karma and emptiness? You know, and then you have this pamphlet and, you know, and we're strictly not allowed to do that, okay? There has to be a desire on the student's side to learn the thing. And you're not allowed to chase students or bother people, okay? And we'll talk more about that. Okay, 10 more minutes, okay? We'll just do 10 more minutes. What's going to happen to you if you start teaching these ideas, okay? I'm not saying teaching Buddhism, okay? I don't care. Teaching these ideas. What ideas? If you plant mental seeds, then your world will change because your world is coming from your mind. How do you plant mental seeds? Do nice things for others. Give them what you want. Help someone else get an acting gig if you want to be a famous actress. Okay, like that. As far as the person teaching, the zi says, what's zi? Kosha. Kosha says, who's kosha? Abhidhamma kosha. Okay, we talked about it yesterday. It's a source of the teachings on breath meditation, for example. Abhidharma Kosha is like it's an 8-chapter summary of all Buddhism that existed before the 4th century AD. Okay, 900 years of Buddhism is summarized in the Abhidharma Kosha. It's a treasure chest of ideas, and it's extremely difficult. And Rinpoche made me learn it for 10 years and memorize most of it. But it was nasty. Okay. Sampani. Chichepa Pokyan Zile. Chijin Yomong Chen Minpe. Doso Yanda Chishintun. Those who make gifts of the Dharma. See, he doesn't even say teach. Those who make gifts of the Dharma should do so without any negative thoughts, negative emotions. And they should follow the sutras and other ancient sources. Okay, so we have two things that have been mentioned in the Abhidharma Kosha, right? You should teach without negative emotions, and you should follow the ancient sources. Okay. Shesumbatar, Chujin Yomon Chendu Mingyowa Kelche. It's very important that your teaching not be corrupted by lesser motivations, okay? Or lesser thoughts, okay? What would that be? Deni buwa sog ayong nyamba nyepa la rewa dong. An example of a lower motivation would be, if I teach these people this thing, and if I get them into my Dharma group, maybe I'll get some money. Okay, or they will give me nice things. Okay, forget it, okay? It's not going to happen anyway. All right? I'm just telling you the straight poop, okay? When you start a Dharma group, be ready to pay for everything, okay? Okay? And be happy about it, okay? Be ready to pay for the readings. Be ready to pay to rent the place. Someone's going to come to you with 16 receipts that you didn't hear about and happily pay it, okay? Part of being a teacher it's your responsibility that the thing gets paid for, and that's it. If you're the teacher, it's your responsibility that things get paid for. Even if that means you have to go work in a as a janitor somewhere and scrape up $200 a week or something to keep the center going. If you're gonna be in the teaching business, you gotta be ready for that. Okay? And happily, don't whine about it. Okay? You wanna be a teacher? It's gonna cost you. Okay? And don't whine about it. Just take it. Take it as an honor. All right? If you do, sponsors will come. If you whine about it, they won't come. Karmically. Okay? So just happily throw every penny you have into it. You know, I was $100,000 in debt in New York City running those teachings. Okay? And just do it. Okay? Then it will all come back. Don't worry about it. Okay? But it's going to be your problem. Okay. So don't go into this business of teaching thinking you're going to get rich because you're not. Actually, you will later. Okay. Oh, I'd like to have as many students as possible. Okay. Don't do head count. What do you call it? Body counts. In Vietnam, it was funny. They had body counts every day. Every day in the newspaper, they would put body counts, you know. And the army had to say we killed 900 people. And then the body counts got larger than the population of Vietnam. Because they were just making up body counts, you know. Don't take body counts. Like, don't be so worried. Oh, I only had 19 students show up, Geshe-la. I only had 3 students show up. That's just, like, so ignorant, you know. It doesn't matter. One person shows up, you save their life. There's such an honor to help one person. Okay, it's so ignorant to worry about, and I do it, okay? I get into it, you know. I get into in a talk, I say 700 people showed up in Singapore the other day, and Mercedes and Ningbo are like, Geshe-la, it was 400. I'm like, no, it was 700. And they're like, okay, maybe 420. I said, no, I counted. How did you count? I mean, you know, so don't think like that. It's very wrong thinking, okay? Have one person is fine. That's a miracle, okay? To have the honor and to have the opportunity to help one person make a good life, have a good life. That's a big honor. Don't get into counting how many students you have. That's really bad. It's really dumb, okay? If you can arrange a program and hold a nice program and 2 or 3 people come and it gets very sweet with them and you have a sweet relationship, the 3 of you, or the 2 of you, because some guy doesn't show up every time. And then it's okay. It's all right. It's a very beautiful thing. It's a high honor to help one person, okay? And I think sometimes when it gets too big, you can't really help everybody anyway. You know, like we've had programs where we just cut the number. We said, okay, after 20, nobody can come, or after 30, because there's a certain intimacy that you can't get in a big group, okay? So don't do body counts, okay? Doesn't matter. Don't think, will I get money out of this, or will I get fame out of this, or will lots of people like me? Don't think like that, okay? It'll come, but don't think about it. What's it mean when he said respect the ancient sources? Okay? She Simbata, Chujin Nyomon Chen Du Ming Gyuwa Kelche. Sorry, I'm sorry. I skipped something. So in keda dan yen dak so ayo nyam pe che pa na penyin le nyemik che. If you are concerned about how famous you will become, you know, there's a famous incident. There was a teacher 2,000 years ago in the Middle East, and he was, you know, it became clear that he was in big danger with the government of being executed, okay? And then it became clear that he was going to be executed the next day. So he held a final dinner with his 12 disciples. You know? And you read it someday. Read it. Read that account. The Last Supper. What were the disciples doing at the Last Supper? Read it. They were arguing about who would be most famous replacement of their teacher, right? They were arguing about who would be the number one replacement of their teacher who's going to be murdered the next day, right? So don't be like, you know, don't be worried about, oh, am I going to be, am I more famous than that other student? Are people going to respect me more? You know, will more people come to my retreat or to their retreat? You see what I mean? Like that. Don't start thinking like that, okay? Because why? He says, penyin le nyemik che. You will get more bad karma than good karma out of that teaching. Okay? You will collect more bad karma than good karma if that's your motivation. You know, how many people can I get to my program? Right? Sanam nyamba. These are important things to know, and these are important things to teach your students before they become teachers, right? As they become teachers. The reason to teach them is that they become a teacher, right? Then it's important to give them the, what do you call it, straight poop ahead of time, you know? And then there's so much trouble is avoided. So many problems are avoided, right? Whole years of suffering, I don't have enough students in my class. You know, I have less students than they have in their class, you know? And whole years of this kind of sick thinking is, you know, avoided up front if you tell your students these things before they become teachers, okay? Nyam chamba nyam ne doyin. Tana namin sam la yang mi tawar, ningje chamba. Tana means, in the end, you shouldn't even be concerned about what kind of karma you're collecting. You should be concerned about the welfare of the students, okay? All right? So the main motivation, certain karmas will ripen for you. Teaching is the most powerful karma. And it will bring you all your wishes. But in the end, tana means in the end, don't focus on that. Focus on helping the people who come. Focus on helping their life, okay? Now when Ningjai Chamba, Lomala e pen rewe, chebashi. Okay, one last sentence, then we'll... Chusong Je Yeshi Gyatso. This is a lama who lived in the 1800s, who studied at Daebung and Serame. Che She Wangko Che Du Namche Da Shi Dukte Bulwa Anye Che Du Samba Ting Ne Kyo Du Che Sumbata Tabar Masoma Go. Che She Wangko Che Du. Nowadays, when people teach dharma or give initiations, chidu, namche dashi dute, they seem to be doing so with, what do you call it? They seem to be estimating. They seem to be engaging in estimating, okay? What kind of estimating? What kind of offerings am I going to get from this one? Okay, like they're calculating. Let's say calculating. They are calculating ahead of time. Let's see, if I hold an initiation and 16 people come and I get $50 out of each one, then I get 800 and it's going to cost me $100 for the stuff. And, you know, they're like calculating what they can get out of a teaching or an initiation. So he said, sambating ne kyodu. He said, this is 300 years ago, right? He said, when I see people like that, it breaks my heart. Okay, it breaks my heart to see teachers calculating before a program, you know, how much can I clear? How much can I clear on this program? Okay. All right. So don't be like that, he says. Don't hope for some kind of gifts or money or respect, okay, or fame. All right. Just think, how can I help these people? That will also affect what you teach, right? So you might want to teach some sexy emptiness thing, and then when you get there, the students are obviously, that's not what would help them the most. Then drop back to Lojong or something, okay? Like, teach what would help them the most. Don't teach what you want to teach. A lot of teachers are, they want to show their expertise, but maybe that's not the thing that would help the students the most, right? The Dalai Lama is very interesting. He goes around the world teaching Lojong Tsigema. These are 8 verses that every monk learns at the age of 7. It's the first thing you memorize. You know, and then the kids around the monastery are all reciting it. So here's the greatest, you know, religious teacher on the planet, and he's teaching the 7-year-old thing over and over because that's what would help other people the most. He could teach some high Madhyamika thing. He's not dumb, right? Every day he does like 3 hours of study starting at 4 a.m. Still, at the age of 70-something, he's still learning. And he has teachers come and teach him. And he could blow your mind away. And he goes to and he goes back to the seven-year-old thing because that was what would help people. Okay, all right. When he gets to Sera, he lets loose. It's very beautiful. When he teaches at Sera to the Geshe's, he like blows them away. Okay, but when he teaches regular people, he wants to help them. Right? Okay. Okay. Then we're gonna stop there. Dinner. Okay. Buddhi jashi edontam lira minshi minde gyambadi sangye shindu migde uwadi noku namda shila chepasho inam guru ranamanda Sanam yeshe, so chi. Sanam yeshe.